Okay, good morning. We can hope you've had a little time to think about what is Eliyahu Navi came to you and said, Hashem is giving you the choice to return your soul now and to ascend to the world that is truly good or to remain here. Are you interested in going up there or not? You have the choice. What would be your true answer and why you would answer that? That was the question. Right? Okay. So what is it that most people would answer? And why are we, and therefore why are we not happy? So he says the following, we're on page Nun, two paragraphs from the bottom. Hapachad mipnei hamoves hanimtza etzel Yehudim b'madrega numucha yoser. The fear of death that's found amongst Jews, that's on the lower level. Hainu pachad, in other words, you know, you've got the high level of the Vilna Gaon that people just aren't on. But of the lower level, what is the Jew afraid of? Hainu pachad misugachar legamri. It's a different type of fear totally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tova ba'adam teva miyuchad shehu mefached lamus. Hashem has put into the nature of a person a unique nature that he is afraid to die. Shoresh ha'teva hazeh, the source of this natural fear, hu pachad ha'neshama ha'kedosha mibechina misa amitis, is a fear that's generated from the soul, the holy soul, in the form of a fear of a true death. The soul is afraid of the truest of all deaths. Eza misa, what death could the soul be afraid of? So the pasuk that we learned before says, V'atem ha'dvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. Moshe said to the Jewish people, you are all attached to God, and therefore you are all alive today. Which means, ha'chaim ha'mitim, real life, heim rak chaim im dveikas b'kodesh baruch hu. Real life is a life of attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've already learned. And if one is not attached to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, one does not have real life. And to the extent that a person is totally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that extent, he is really alive. And to the extent that one isn't, one is not alive. V'haneshama b'chol rega v'rega mifachedes mipnei hamoves. And the soul is afraid of death. But what kind of death is the neshama afraid of? The real death. Krisas haneshama mitzur machzavto. Is the soul being separated from the rock from which it was hewn? Midveikus b'makor ha'chaim, from cleaving to the root of life. Borei Olam, the creator of the world. Zeh shorash amiti hayochid l'kach she'adam afachid l'mavis. The only true reason for any fear of death to exist is that one would be afraid that one would be totally severed from God, and that would ultimately be death. That's the real death. The real death can happen in your lifetime. As the Chazal say, Tzadik Rishoyim, the wicked people, Afilu b'misosam nikroim meisim, Afilu b'chayeyem nikroim meisim, even in their lifetimes they're called dead people. They're the walking stiffs. They're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're physically alive like animals are alive. But to really be alive, we've learned this already. To really be alive, you have to be connected to Hashem. To that degree that you are connected to Hashem, you are truly alive. And the neshama is always afraid, perhaps I'm not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps I'm dead even now. Or, as we learned in the Rambam has said many, many times in Hilchos Teshuvah, that when a person does a certain amount of sins, or certain types of sins, he is cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you are cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the worst of all realities, is that there will be no eternal existence to who and what you are, because you have done a certain amount of sins that have distanced you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that without teshuva, you don't reconnect that disconnect. It doesn't get reconnected. And that's the worst thing, to even be in that state for any period of time. They discuss a lot the Shari Tshuva, which I just have the Rambam's for him. Shari Tshuva, and the Meforshim on the Shari Tshuva discuss this a lot. You know, the idea of different people, you know, the Dalet Chaluke Kapora, the four different levels of Kapora. When you do certain Averos, you know, Tshuva alone isn't good enough. The effect of the Avera that one has done is so deep that Tshuva alone doesn't help. And some things need suffering. Some things need Yom Kippur. Some things need Yom Kippur and suffering. Something needs Yom Kippur, suffering and death. So, Meforshim ask, okay, so what's the difference if I need death or not? I'm going to die anyway. You know, to get kapara, you have to die. Okay, so everybody dies. So when I die, I'll get the kapara. So what is going to have to tell us? That's one of the levels of kapara. You do sins of chilul Hashem, that requires tshuva, Yom Kippur, suffering, and death. So what if you tell me on death for? Death comes. Right? Why don't I need to know something that's out of my control anyway? You die anyway. So the Meforshim explain that the worst punishment a person can get, right, during one's whole life is to not have kapara. See, if you don't have kapara, what you don't have is also closeness to God. And therefore everything you do is without this closeness to God. And it comes out that your whole life is being distanced from God. I'm not getting into all the details now, but if a person that does a real Chil Hashem, he is distant from God. And when one is distant from God, then your service is done at a distance. And the whole relationship is not a warm, close, growing, one second, building relationship. And we know that your Olam Haba is only as good as your Olam Hazeh. And that means if you go through your life for 30, 40 years without getting kapara, that means the bulk of your life that's supposed to invest in a deep relationship with Hashem is never really there. And then in Olam Haba, you only get the kind of Olam Haba that was a reflection of your Olam Hazeh. And therefore, those are the things that the soul is really afraid of. The soul is afraid of living a life of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And distance is the ultimately worst thing that one could have. So that's what the soul is. So what are you going to say? So I'm doomed for that for the rest of my life? So no, the Rabbeinu Yonah discusses what things we can do to replace death in one's lifetime. What mitzvahs that we can initiate is as bad as dying because of the bizyonis that you get by doing those mitzvahs. He lists a whole bunch, a whole slew of things you could do to dodge that bullet. That, you know, well, you got a death is the only kapara. That's the kapara that God gives you. But what kapara can you initiate? So Rabbeinu Yonah says there's a number of things you can do. Really you could do. Painful things that they're self-initiated on your part. Like studying many hours of Torah every day. It's very difficult. It's very difficult, man. Not 15, half hour, an hour. Many, many hours a day. Lose sleep to learn Torah. Really break your brains trying to understand Torah, which is not an easy thing to do. Or how about collecting tzedakah for the poor? Go snoring for other people. Get doors slammed at your face and be refused time and time again. You know, that's plenty bizyonis. That's a good kapara. It's a lot of kaparas. But what's the point? Why are we talking about all this? It's, c'est la vie. Let it live. The answer is because the neshama, there is this concept of this permanent connection and this lack of this permanent connection, a permanent disconnection. That's something that the neshama fears so much. That's what the Chovas HaVavas says. Chovas HaVavas, when he talks about simcha and yagoy, joy and sadness, Chovas HaVavas says in the Shara Avodas Elokim right at the end, he says only one thing to really be happy about and only one thing to really be sad about. So the only thing to really be happy about is something that is a good thing, that is forever good. That is forever good. That has no mixture of evil, and is a perfect good. And that you should be happy about. So what's that? So the commentary say, the only thing could be is doing mitzvahs. Something you really should be happy with. When you do a mitzvah, what does that mean? A real mitzvah with real love and real care and real, you know, feeling. Because that's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no other true joy in this world. Because you're attached to the source of all life. Real life. Right? That's what to be joyful for. What you should be sad about if, God forbid, you've done something that is permanently bad. Only bad. And what's that? You do an avera. You do an avera, you should be saddened by an avera. Because that is the ultimate disconnect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There will be nothing worse than that. Anything else, you know, you're sad, you know, when somebody dies, because from your physical perspective, you won't see them anymore. From your physical perspective. And we don't see the deeper emes. We have pitachon. So there's certain sadness there. But the ultimate joy and the ultimate sadness is doing mitzvahs or doing averus. So that neshama that we're talking about, that is so aware of the true realities than what our superficial existence is aware of, understands that the worst thing that could happen, the worst death is the disconnect from God, where I don't live with this closeness to Hashem. If I'm not dovuk to Hashem, if I'm not attached to Hashem, I don't have chaim, and that's the ultimate death. And there's levels of that. There's levels of death. That we could be walking around now in this state of death because we've done averus that have caused us to distance ourselves from Hashem. Or just, not even averus, we just don't think of Hashem. We go all through our lives not really thinking about Hashem and not really developing this closeness to Hashem. And we're, so to speak, the walking stiffs. We can do tshuva on it. We can come back. And that's why we're not happy. We're not happy because we're not really feeling this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we create other superficial happinesses that gets our bodies happy for a little while, but that always goes away and you have to keep replacing it. And then there's the permanent and the ultimate disconnect, where you leave this world without having done the right tshuva, and then you don't really get to the next world to any kind of level of connection that one would want to have. That is the real, real, real fear of death that exists within the human being, but it's deep, deep down in the neshama. Now, of course, the neshama has the real feelings, so we get, you know, if we're not that connect, so a real tzaddik is really connected to that neshama. And that's driving him. One of the things, he says, the last thing he wants is death. The last thing he wants is to not be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The thing he wants to be alive. He wants to be alive. So how are you alive? You're alive by feeling connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you feel that connection that you have to work years on to feel this connection, then you feel like you're alive. At that point, the tzaddik isn't afraid of physical death. What's to be afraid of? He's alive. He is alive. He feels more alive than anyone else around him feels alive. Because he feels that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That connection can only get stronger at his physical death. Because to the degree that he's connected to Hashem, that's great. But to the degree that he's a body, that he can't help but being a body, to that degree, he is limited as to how connected he could be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when he leaves this world, he knows he's going to even get connected higher than that. And that's for your average Jewish soul, not the Vilna Gaon soul. The Vilna Gaon who wants to even live longer because he only lives for a Kaddish Baruch Hu to do mitzvahs. That's higher levels, really high levels. Okay, we're not on those kinds of levels. But even so, you're saying, oh, this sounds like a pretty high level too. You know, but this was the level that every Jew was meant to live on. Every simple Jew, every simple tailor who knew Shas, who got up at 3 a.m. to learn his pages of Talmud. To daven at 7:00 to go to work, and then to come back, and what did he do for enjoyment between Mincha Marv to learn more? you know, to teach his kids. And that was it. It was a simple life. He didn't have all these intrusions. You know, and they all lived that way. They all lived that way 200 years ago. Every simple Jew lived that way, feeling this closest to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? So so if an Avera was looking at you, you're tempted to do an Avera, it's like slitting your throat. Slitting your spiritual throat. I want to do an Avera. I'm alive. What do I want to kill myself for? Right? That's the neshama, and that's the real fear of sin. The fear of sin is the fear of death. That's what it really is the fear of death. I don't want to die. But when it came time to physically leave this world, so Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much. It was a wonderful life. Right? I was close with you. I felt alive every time. And now you want me to feel more alive. Okay? Now, if I'm not well, the Torah gives me a mitzvah. You require me. You require me to extend my life. Okay, that's the Ratzon Hashem. I'll listen to you. And if I'm sick, I'll go to the doctor because that's the Torah says so. And that's a mitzvah itself too. And that gets me close to God, and that's what I want. And I'm obliged to do that. And if you're sick and you purposely don't go to a doctor, then you're doing an Avera. And then that's disconnecting you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you understand, and why does Hashem give us that mitzvah, even though dying would bring us closer? Because that's the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants us to have Rachmanis, and you have to take care of yourself, and you have a mitzvah to take care of yourself, and you have to be healthy. Why? Because that's the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have to do all you can to stay alive within the normal, reasonable things, not abnormal, not crazy mishugana things that you're paying $50,000 a shot with a 0.0001 chance of living, and the hell you go through being able to do that. That is not necessarily the Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is to do what's normal and what the normal medical practices are out there, right? And then when God says it's not meant to work and you're mentally this world, then you accept, okay, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to move on to the next stage. I'm not going to miss anybody because I'm going to see them deeper when I'm over there, and I'll have a deeper relationship with them. So the only real fear of death is, God forbid I should leave this world with a certain Avera that would cut me off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whoa. That's the ultimate fear. That's the fear of death. And that fear of death is every minute that they're alive. Just like everyone has, you know, so that plays itself out in our lives. We're not that in touch with our neshama. So how does it play itself out in our lives here? The neshama is still feeling that there's got to be some kind of ripple effect that plays itself out with us. So that's what he's going to come up to next. Ella. Bottom paragraph. Shekesha neshama yoredesli olam hazeh. But when neshama comes into this world, umislabeshes beguf, and now puts on the garment of a body, gam hargoshas, so those feelings, mislabshos bilavushe gashmi, they now take on a physical garmenting as well. Varam chosh olson kehargoshes guf. Then he begins to feel them as bodily feelings. Lachain, therefore, hargosha sohi, what's the physical feeling is? Shekiv yochel haguf mefached lamavas. As it were, the body is afraid of good old-fashioned death. So now how does the body translate all this? The body just doesn't want to die. Aval olav ladash zoi rak bechina shel guf. You know, that's only the body aspect. Bechina shel alma dekula shikra. The aspect of the world that's totally false. When your physical animalistic body, you know, picks up the waves, the real waves, they're coming from the neshama, but it picks them up only as a body, doesn't have the frequency to understand them in a deeper way. So it says, I'm afraid to die. Good old fashioned death. That's the only death that the body knows of. The neshama knows the real death. The body only knows the false death. That's the biggest alma de shikra at all. The Medrash says on the words, "V'hine tov me'od." When Hashem finished creating, he looked at what he saw and he said, it was tov me'od, was really good. Not just good, really good. So the rabbi said, what do you mean really good? Just say good. What's this really? Really means more than good. So what's really good? So it lists a whole bunch of things. And one of the really good things that Hashem saw is that there was death. That's the real good. That's real good. What's that real good? Because it's really good when you die, because then you're totally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's good here. It's good in this world. It is a good world. You're alive, and you can do the mitzvahs that connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could feel being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all your life, and it's a good world, but not a very good world. A very good world is only with death. With death, when you're separated from this good world, now there's nothing separating you, and now you're in the very good world. But in the Alma de Shikra, in the world of illusion, we think that regular death is the worst thing that could happen. It could be nothing worse than that. And the answer is there's a heck of a lot worse things than dying physically. And the one is doing an Avera. Doing an Avera without tshuva is the worst thing that can happen. And that's from the world of truth. The world, I mean, these are things we've got to work on and to believe on. I mean, we don't feel this. We don't feel, and he's going to talk about it, you know, doing an Avera is such a bad thing. We don't. And if it is, and if the food is treif, no. And if it is Lashon Hara, no. You know, we're going to the Rambam. 24 people, they don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. You don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. 24 different types of Averas. You don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. Right? Okay. And one of them is you embarrass people. You know, v'chelik and olam haba. A baal lashon hara is not a v'chelik and olam haba. How many? Every Jew has one to start. The meaning is every Jew has the ability to build their portion in the world to come. Because you're a Jew, if you will do mitzvahs and be close to Hashem, you have the ability to have Olam Haba. You have the ability. Not, you know, others don't have the ability to get the kind of, a goy cannot get the Olam Haba you can get, no matter what they do, unless they convert. They cannot get your Olam Haba. You have the best possible Olam Haba, potential. You gotta do something to get it. Right? But there are people who, by their actions, demonstrate they aren't people for that realm of existence. So one of them is a Baal Lashon Hara. Baal Lashon Hara means a master of Lashon Hara. It's not that, you know, we stumble once in a while. But a person who relishes and they, you know, a person who gets on the phone and just talks Lashon Hara all day long. What do they talk about? They talk about people. And what do? They, you know, and you know people like this who are not observant. And they just don't know what they talk about people all day long. This one was bad. This one was bad. This one is bad. That is bad. They complain and criticize, and right? It's a balash. So that the neshama is terrified from. That's the emes. The emes is such a person is not alive even when he's alive. He's worse than a behemoth. And those are people that if now that you are all sensitive to this, lashon hara. Although we fall once in a while, but we're sensitive. You kind of can smell lashon hara out when it comes now, right? 20 years ago, people said this. We didn't know about lashon hara. So it was takus gishmak. Wow, good juicy lashon hara gossip, right? This is people pay millions of dollars to hire gossip columnists. You get free. You can lose your chelek in olam haba every day by reading certain columns in certain newspapers. They're devoted to gossip, right? And you read it, you're losing your Olam Haba as you read it, right? And the world revolves around this in a big way, right? So imagine 20, 30 years ago, you heard some Geshmak Lashon Hara. It was interesting. It was very entertaining. You enjoyed it, right? Now, you're sensitive and you understand how disgusting it is. Now you hear people saying it. The question you say, so Rabbi, how do I do to not listen to it? How do I tell the people not to do this and that? And even if you don't have the courage to get up and walk away, you're feeling very uncomfortable at the table when you're hearing it. Right? Because why? Because a dead person is talking to you. A dead person is talking to you and he's trying to pull you down into his grave. That's the world of truth. That's the world, and the person's smiling and is happy and is healthy and is having a great time, but Chazal's saying he's dead. He's dead. He has no connection to Hashem. So it's hard for us to feel this. It's not an easy thing to understand. The neshama feels this. So now, when the body has to pick it up, so what's the body picking up? The body's picking up only one thing. You know what? If a person's physically dead, that's the end. Right? But that's the world of Sheker. Mises, you know, You can see it's the world of Sheker. We spend millions of dollars on cancer research, and not millions of dollars on Lashon Hara research. More people die from Lashon Hara every year than any other disease. And this is real death. Cancer research, with all it can do, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful for Goyim to be involved in this. Because that's about all they can be involved in. Right? So what'll it do? Cure the person's illness, he'll live another 25 years. Baruch Hashem. Whatever. Let's say, we'll wipe out cancer in our generation. Okay, so if you're a 60, 70-year-old person, you'll live another 20, 30 years. That's good. Okay, fine. If we wipe out Lashon Hara, people will eternally live. Wow. Right? But who's going to get it? So the Chavetz Chaim Foundation has to beg and borrow and steal, not steal, you know, to get a few bucks so people will give them some money to give a lecture and this and that. You know, compare their budget to the American Cancer Society. What do they have to do already? I mean, you know, they have to do it to get us to understand that speaking Lashon Hara is a terrible thing. And they've had some good success. Right? So that's the difference. So now, Misa Saguf, but the truth is, the death of the body, Hutchilas Achiyah Shel Neshama, is the real beginning of the ultimate life of the soul. Ukechol Shigoveres Chiyas Haguf, but to the extent that the life of the body gets stronger, when the animalistic body's understanding of life gets stronger, so kach goveres kivyachol misas haneshama chasazom, so to speak, as it work, the death of the neshama grows. Because the body gets you to have a good time, and those good times can get you in trouble. Right? So now we have the real, real fear of death of the neshama, and the faux fear of death that the body has created for you to fear. So now, just three more paragraphs. Acharei shehevin adam shasibish mefachad lamavis hu sibashikris. So now if a person can understand that the reason he's afraid of death is a false reason, va'emes, but the truth is shezoi hargosha shel haneshama, but really it's a neshama feeling. The neshama feeling is the real feeling of death. But we only live with the faux feeling of death. Of lovely, he spun and valerous cases, mislabeshes, bo, siba, sapacha, mimavis. So now you have to start thinking, okay, now that I know what the real fear of death is and the phony fear of death is, so now, where's my fear of death coming from? My man, imukim lefachas and nisim bedashlam. What are the reasons that I am afraid of dying? Why am I afraid of death? There's going to be different answers and different levels of people for these reasons. But in a natural way, people who are connected to the physical pleasures of this world, connected. I'm not saying not to be confused with making use of them as tools. But connected. You know what connected means. I bought the new BMW and I take pride in it. You know, it's like it's my baby. It's my baby. And I have to polish it, whatever they do to it. And you take care of the baby and you feel connected to the baby. And it's mamish makes you feel like $1 million when you're in that car. And that's the whole car industry. Right? For all the macho guys. Right? That's how they define themselves, by their car and all this. I'm not talking about you guys. You just get into a car. Just give me a car that runs. I don't care. As long as it works, it doesn't break down. That's the only thing I'm interested in. And the heating works, okay, you know. And there's air conditioning in the summer because we're weak people, okay. And if it gets a scratch, it gets a scratch. Okay, it's a scratch. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world, you know. Just give me one place, you know. I don't care. You want to put this kakamica in and that thing and this and to tell me how many miles. I'm not interested, but that's part of the standard options. I don't have a choice anymore. Right, okay, so you have to live with it because... But I don't care. Just give me a car and let me get into it. Or your makut, you know, it is tied to your home. My house has to look like like the prettiest, spotless place in the world. Like it looks like nobody's been living in that house. Chas v'shalom, a scratch on the floor. It's the end of the world. Mamish, the end of the world. Scratch on the floor. To get upset the whole day. Somebody walked in your house, God forbid, and didn't clean the mud off their shoes. It's the end of the world. Mamish, the end of the world. You know. And they get so upset and this and that. You know, that's mukusher. I mean, so you can live in this world and you can enjoy that this world is able to connect you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you could enjoy, I'm going in a car, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to spend a half an hour coming to shul. It only takes 5 minutes. So Baruch Hashem, I've got more time to do other things to serve Hashem. Thank God. That's there. You're not mekusher to it. You're using what's in this world to give you more olam haba and to get closer to Hashem. That's wonderful. Whoever's who's really tied into this world, right? Shehu lo rotza lazo. You don't want to leave this world. The feel, no, that feel of the road, the smell of the leather, right? The good self-esteem I have by being svelte at 50 with muscles. You know, because that means I'm young, right? You know, and dyeing my hair so I'll look younger, right? For men, okay? It's all because you're tied into this world. Your mom is tied into the multi-billion dollars on skin enhancements and everything else that's there. You know, they're showing. The person next to me in the club likes to watch Dr. Phil. You know, I was. Person walks in always. I couldn't get some Amish and Irish kites. Amish and Irish kites. You know, so whenever they come in, I know, okay, and they put it on loud, you know, so I have to hear doctor. I don't want to make trouble. I don't say anything. You know, so sometimes I'm lucky the person comes in like 10 to 4, so I only have to hear it for 10 minutes. So yesterday the person came in at 3:30. I had to hear it for half an hour. Oh, it's Oprah, the other Southern Michigan. So they have these people, these people who were movie stars when we were kids. You know, so remember the kids, right, from past Gilgal when we were kids, right? You know, remember Diane Carroll? Some looks at this picture of this black woman. She looks like really young, in her 40s, really young, in her 40s. Like, you know, and then they put up, and I said, this face looks familiar. I couldn't spot it. I couldn't. Baruch Hashem, I almost totally forgot it, you know. And I said, this face looks familiar. I never forget a face. And then they put on the thing, Diane Carroll, actress, 71.
Wow.
71, I'm telling you, she looks, I don't know, 40. You know, and so the person said, come on, you can't imagine how many times her face has been stretched, you know. And they show this other one looks like in her 30s, she's 65. I mean, you know, like, it's like, what game are they playing? These are people mukusher to this world, because they got no world. They've done every avera in the book, these movie stars. Every avera, and then some. Their neshama knows they're dead. Right? Their mom is dead. They have some, they have a goyish neshama, and the neshama knows it's dead. Mom is dead. So what do they got left? One thing. Enjoy this world. Let me look like I'm young until the very, very end. And that's mukusher, this world. Okay, I'm not saying any of us are like that. And this is where you're allowed to make leitzanus. This is where you're allowed to make leitzanus, because this is that's the world of shikra.
What's
mockery. You're allowed to mock these things. It's narishkeit, you know. God's making me look older. Baruch Hashem. This is the way he wants me to age. Baruch Hashem. And the Torah says you have to give honor to the white-haired one. The Torah says, you know, Baruch Hashem, looking older is the way Hashem wants you, because he wants the soul to get used to not being in this world, you see. And you're not so young, and you're not so physically beautiful. But the neshama's beauty should be able to come out more and more and more. So I don't have to worry about this. Isn't this, you guys? Imagine if I was so worried that I looked young, how much time I'd have to waste. You know, dyeing my beard and this. I wouldn't have a beard, right? Because you look younger without a beard. Mishigas, right? So these people, they don't want to leave this. Kolechad lefi madregas hiskashus olam. Everyone according to the level that they're connected. There's some that are really connected, like the movie stars are totally. And then there's the average people.
that are to a certain degree to connected. Yesh mishimakusher l'mishp, and then there's different kinds of connections. Yesh mishimakusher l'mishpachto, there's also connected to their family. You love your family, you love your kids, and you're afraid to leave them because that's your only happiness in life. Yesh mishimakusher l'mamono, they're also connected to their money. Kol echad v'hakesher miyuchado, everyone has their own unique kesher. Even being so connected to your family, you know, without HaKadosh Baruch in the equation is not a healthy thing. For a man and woman to love each other to such an extent that life isn't worth living if the other spouse dies is not a healthy way to live either. It's not a healthy. People say, what do you mean? It's the most beautiful in the world. It's not a healthy way to live. I'm not against loving your wife. You should love your wife. You should love your husband. But you're loving them so that connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real love that you should have for a spouse. If you have that love, that'll be the biggest love. You'll love them more than everybody else loves. And of course, you'll mourn for them when they die. But then you'll also know that life goes on and that you have to get married again. Because lo tov eyosa adol lo do, God says you're not allowed to live alone. You're not allowed to live alone. So you have to have somebody else. Not that, oi, he didn't care. Look what he did. His wife dies, he goes and got married again. A chutzpah. You have all these widows, you know, ranking out these guys to get married after their wives die. What do you mean? It's a mitzvah of the Torah. You don't have a choice. And not to say that the next wife's going to be better than the last wife, but that's what you have to have. Right? So people, I love my wife so much, so much, so much, you know, and if she dies, I'm dead. That's not a life living connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. You've replaced love of another person with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's not a healthy way to live either. Everyone has to really test themselves and really ask themselves. Zaka Bru, the very clear test with these questions. Mahu be'emes hadover shalav hu mekushar. What is it that this person is really totally connected to? Afilu imakesher ein nimtza b'das kol yom. Even though that connection is not totally on his mind all day long, avol b'mamake anefesh, but in the depths of his soul, kishemagia shas amifchad, when push comes to shove, when the real time of test comes, lefeta suddenly, huchash tchushas hiskashru shabachai yom. Yom einena kiyamis. Suddenly he senses that feeling of connection of day to day that it's not going to exist anymore. In other words, what is it that if that moment comes, you may die. What are you most afraid of? What are you most afraid of? I'm going to lose this fun life that I'm having, right? And that's what that fear is coming. What is it that really is scaring you about death, right? That's what each and every one of us has to ask us. So he's saying those that are more connected into their bodies, they're going to be, what is death the fear of? The fear of, I'm going to miss everything I'm having here. I'm going to miss my wife. I'm going to miss my kids. I'm going to miss my money. I'm going to miss my BMW. I'm going to miss the covet I get. And I don't really know what's happening. I'm told there's this Olam Haba. Okay, I hope it'll be okay. I hope it'll be okay. But right now I got a sure thing here. And Olam Haba, I don't know. So I'm really afraid of that. Or the other person says, listen, right now the only thing I have is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's all I have is this relationship. And all these beautiful tools are just tools to connect me, but they're only tools. And I'm going to go into the world where I don't need any tools. I go right to the connect. I'm going to be right at the plug-in. That's what I've been looking for all my life. So what fear? There is no fear of death. So what are you afraid of? I'm afraid of Chas V'Shalom, I've done an Aveira that would cut me off from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That I'm so terrified. If I haven't done ample tshuva in my life, I'm so terrified if that's what's happened. And therefore, he's always worried about doing other things to correct that. Okay? And that will lead us to the next topic. I'm sorry, he has a lot to say. This is a very hard topic. We've got to sit on this. But the next topic is going to be Olam Hazeh, in this world, Hevel Vishov Nita is emptiness and vanity that leads us to mistakes. And this is where we get lost. And this is all part of stuff we should be talking to ourselves during this hour.
or six. Really talking, being honest, what are you really afraid of? What are you really afraid of death? And if you are afraid of how we have to correct it, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we'll continue it and probably another day or two, and then we'll open the floor for massive discussion. Just, I'm not pushing it away, but we need to have enough information before we intelligently discuss this.